And I want us to continue with what we've been looking at the last few weeks. These four things that Jesus tells his disciples, those who follow him. So this includes us. This includes you and me. And we've looked at the first two, which are believe and receive. We'll touch on that. And then today, we're going to keep on going with stay and go, or wait and go. And we'll follow up, and we'll see how far we go, and then we'll stop whenever it's time to stop. So, all of these things that Jesus is talking about are related to the Holy Spirit. Okay, so as we look at this, the two today are stay and go, and let's look at some of the verses. All four Gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Okay. All four of them say something about stay and go, or stay or go, or wait or go, something like that. Look real quickly. So here's Luke, and Luke writes that Jesus says, Luke 24, this is the last chapter of Luke, "You're witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised." Okay, what has the Father promised? Jesus has been talking about it, right? This is after his resurrection, and the night that he was betrayed by Judas, and then went judged, and then went to the cross the next day. He spent most of his evening talking with his disciples about two things. One of them was love. Love. The other thing was Holy Spirit. Right? Love and Holy Spirit. There are other things as well, but these two. And so Jesus says, you are witnesses of these things, all these things that have happened. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. And I like that picture, clothed. It's like you put something on, right? So that's part of the stay, okay? And then we're going to look at go this morning, and this is found in Matthew 28. Again, the last chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. These are all found in the last chapters. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." A disciple, we can get saved. We are saved. It sometimes takes us time to come to belief in salvation, right, as we learn about God. But when we are saved, that's something that's very fast, right? It happens very, very quickly. But becoming a disciple of Jesus takes time. There are a lot of people who come to church every Sunday morning and they are saved. They have said yes to Jesus. The Holy Spirit lives in their hearts, but they're not really disciples of Jesus. They're doing what they want to do with their lives. They're kind of living the way they want to live. When something happens, they react in the way that they've always reacted. So they're not yet disciples of Jesus. It takes time to become a disciple. It takes time. And so Jesus says to these people that he's sending out, go and make disciples, right? And so this is our, and then we look at Acts 1, 4, and 5, and 8. He's eating with them. This is right before he's getting ready to go back to heaven. Jesus gave this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift. So he's a promise and a gift, Holy Spirit, right? My Father promised. I love those two words. The Holy Spirit is promised. God always keeps his promise. The Holy Spirit is a gift. I do not qualify for a gift. I do not have to work for a gift. I do not have to get good enough for a gift. I do not have to get holy enough for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Do you know why? all of those things that I just said, that's what the Holy Spirit does. I can't do that. And so the Holy Spirit has to come, and then he does those things. And so he says, wait for the gift which you've heard me speak about. When had they heard him speak about it? John 14, 15, 16, right? John 14, 15, 16, the night of the Last Supper. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Okay, comes on, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, ends of the earth. So Jesus is talking to people. I don't want to talk about history this morning. He's talking to people who believe him already, right? Yes or no? They believe him? Crystal, say yes. Okay. Yes. He's talking to people who believe him. He's talking to people who have received the Holy Spirit. Yes or no? Some of you are not sure. Okay. Remember in John 21, okay, remember John 21, they're talking about, I saw Jesus. No, Jesus is still dead. No, I saw Jesus. And then the two from Emmaus Road come in and they say, it's true, it's true. We saw him. We started to eat food with him. And then suddenly Jesus, boom, appears in their midst, right? Scares them like it would, more than that. Scares them like nobody's business. I mean, scares them. And he says, peace be with you. And at the same time he's saying peace, remember, he shows them the horrible after effects of sin. That's what it is, right? He shows them his hands and his side. But he says at the same time, peace. And that's why you and I can have peace with the Father, peace with Jesus, even when our lives have been so messed up because of sin. Because Jesus says, peace be to you, because he's taking care of sin, right? Then remember what he does. He says again, peace, because they need it. They need it, right? Then remember what happens. We talked about this last week. Then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit, right? So Jesus says to people who have received, who believe and who have received the Holy Spirit, I know this is ABCs for a bunch of you, but hang with me, huh? When the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. And so, Jesus has something more, right? I know this is ABCs, but Jesus has something more. And there are some of us this morning who are saying, yeah, I know, and I agree. But I want to say to you this morning that agreeing is good, but it's not enough. Don't get mad at me. Don't get upset with me. Jesus offers more. Jesus offers more. And he says, wait, now you're going to be my witnesses. But to be my witnesses, you're going to have to get more of what I have for you. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. May I say something to you this morning? I want you to take a look at this. Did Jesus perform a bunch of miracles? Yes. Have you seen miracles in your life? Yes. We heard of one this morning. But I want you to see that Jesus doesn't really talk about miracles here at all. What does he say? When the Holy Spirit comes on you, not just in you, but a special further work of the Holy Spirit, you will be my witnesses. You'll be my witnesses. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning, the stay and then the go, because we wait. They had to wait. Holy Spirit hadn't come yet. And so what Jesus wants from you this morning is, among other things, he wants you to be his witness. And you say, well, how do I do that? That's a huge pressure. That's a huge whatever. I want you to think of your life before Jesus. Think of your life before Jesus. How was your life before Jesus? It was a mess, wasn't it? It was a mess. Guess what? All out there is a world full of people whose lives are a mess. whose lives are a mess. There are people who are struggling with depression, and they don't want to wake up tomorrow morning. In the city of Hong Kong, which is 7 million people or so, I suspect there will be people today or tonight that will make a decision that will end their lives because of depression, because that's what the devil does. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. Or people that are looking for peace, or people that are looking for more, and there are all sorts of things. And so what Jesus says to you and to me this morning is, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, a further work of the Holy Spirit, a greater measure of the Holy Spirit, a power of the Holy Spirit, you will be my witnesses. You'll go out into the world. You'll go to your classes. You'll go to your working in your employer, in your office, at uni, or on the MTR, and you are going to be his witnesses. But how can we be his witnesses? I can't do it by myself. And Jesus knows that I can't. And so Jesus gives us more. And he says, when the Holy Spirit comes, you will be my witnesses. And it's the work and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So I want to encourage you in that this morning. And so we started off with that. That's kind of a capsule of it, in case I run out of time, because you know I always do, right? There's the capsule right there. Let's go back. So we looked at believe. We looked at receive. Here it is. I was describing it to you, but here's the passage. John 20:19-22. He appears to them. And I want us to think about how this began for just a minute. If you look in your Bibles in John chapter 1, I don't have any of the scriptures here, but you can click on your Bibles, or you can look in your paper, click on your e-Bible or whatever, or you can look at John 1. I want you to think about how this began, right, in the very beginning. So 3.5 years before this, remember how the disciples began to follow Jesus. So I want to ask you something. I want you to think about it. Do you remember how you began to follow Jesus? Think about it. Did you see somebody's life? Did you hear something? How did it happen? Now think about the disciples. They were walking along. Some of them were following John the Baptist. And John the Baptist turns. This is John chapter 1, okay? John chapter 1. And in John chapter 1, John the Baptist sees Jesus. And what does he say? Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And what happens when John says that? Immediately, two of John's disciples turn around, leave John, and follow Jesus. I think that's so great. And John doesn't get upset, because he came to point people to Jesus. By the way, that's what we do. We point people to Jesus. I can't save anybody. I can't do any of these things, but I know someone who can. Jesus can. Jesus can. And so we bring people to Jesus. And so John says, look, the Lamb of God. Jesus is walking by. May I say to you that Jesus is always walking by. I'm serious. He's always walking by. He's always there. And so they begin to follow. And if you look at John 1, it's so great. Jesus turns and he looks at them and he says, what do you want? What do you want? And they say, being very polite, instead of saying, are you the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world? What do they say? They say, teacher, where are you staying? Okay, you'll see that in John 1, so you look at your Bibles if you want to. And Jesus says, come and you will see. Do you see what Jesus does? He doesn't hit him over the head. He doesn't say, you're sinners and you're going to go to hell. Jesus offers them, come and see. And one of them is Andrew. And you know what Andrew does? He follows Jesus for the rest of the day. So does one other. And they follow Jesus. What that means is they follow Jesus around to where he's staying. It also means that they follow him where he's going to be eating. Remember we said eating is fellowship, right? And so they follow. And then if you look at John 1, the very first thing that Andrew does was he finds his brother Peter and he tells him, we have found the Messiah. And he brings him to Jesus. Andrew has not yet seen a miracle. Andrew has not yet heard all of the truth. But he knows enough to say, we found the Messiah. So I want to encourage you all this morning as we walk after Jesus. Sometimes we don't want to say anything because our lives are not perfect. Sometimes we don't want to say anything because we don't have all the answers, right? But you have enough in your life, and you have enough Jesus in your heart to say, come, follow. Like, come and see. Come and see. And seriously, that should take the pressure off of some of you, because you kind of say, well, what do I say? How do I say it? You say, come and see. Come and see. And so he follows, he brings Peter, and then Jesus keeps on going, and Jesus finds Philip, and he says, Philip, follow me. And then Philip says, oh, we found the Messiah. I think we found the Messiah. So what does Philip do? He goes and he gets Nathanael, right? And he gets Nathanael, and he says, Nathanael, we have found the one that the scriptures talk about. And Nathanael's very honest, and he says, right. And that's my translation. You can look it up for yourself. And then, you know what Philip says? Come and see. That's what Philip says. Come and see. And so I want to suggest to you this morning that this is a pretty good way to be a witness for Jesus Christ. This is a pretty good way to bring people to the Lord. Here's the thing, let me give you the very last, there we go. Look at the very last one, because I'm adjusting as we're speaking this morning. We get so bent out of shape because we think, what do I do? How do I say? And then somebody that we love is really sinning, right? They're really doing bad things. And what do we want to do? Get clean. Stop doing that. That's wrong. Yes or no? Yeah. Not all of you, but most of us, right? Most of us. Come on. We're being honest, right? And now. Even now. Okay. Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes, he has a job to do. Look at John 16. Here's the job. Here's one of the jobs that the Holy Spirit has come to do. Look with me. When he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. This is New Living Translation. I like this good because it explains it. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I'm going to the Father. You'll see me no more. And judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. And when you and I have the Holy Spirit working in our lives, what we begin to understand is all the things we're trying to make somebody else do and be, it's not our work. It's not our job. It's the Holy Spirit's job. It's the Holy Spirit's job. So what's your work and what's your job? Your work and your job is to pray like anything for that person. I mean it. You pray. God help me. And Holy Spirit, fill me with your power. Holy Spirit, equip me. Because you know how the Holy Spirit usually works, right? He works through us, right? He works as we're around people. And so we pray, Holy Spirit works. We pray, Holy Spirit works. And every once in a while, the Holy Spirit tells us to say something or to do something. But the Holy Spirit's work. So we see this in John 16, 8 through 11. Some of you have heard this story before, but I want to remind you again, because some of you are a little bit newer. So many years ago, in my previous life, I was teaching at university in the big country to the north. I won't say that out loud. Anyhow, it's now 30 years ago. And the very last year I was at this big fancy name university, one of my students came to talk with me, and I introduced her to Jesus, and she became a Christian. God transformed her life. She was a mess. Broken family. Father had abandoned them. And in those days, I mean, that was really, really hard. And it was, she was sad all the time. I mean, she would sit in the class just almost crying. God transformed her life. That was the end of the semester. Then I was back in the U.S., and then I came back. And when I came back, I met with her, and I said, hey, how's it going? What? How's it? Because I was praying for her, but I was a little bit worried because I thought, I hope she makes it. You know, I'm away for two months, and I'm not there. Guess what? Holy Spirit knows how to take care of people. If you're not with people, and if you can't, whatever, you just keep praying for them because the Holy Spirit. So she said, teacher, I said, it's really great. It's wonderful. After I accepted Jesus, I went back home, and I shared with my mother, and my mother accepted Jesus. Pretty great, right? And then I talked with my sister, her older sister, Dajie, and my Jijie, and my older sister accepted Jesus also. So all of them in the home had accepted Jesus. Here I was in the U.S. worrying about her. Oh, God, help her to make it. But the Holy Spirit was at work, right? So all three of them accepted Jesus. So you know what the country's like. And so the older sister was at work in her office. And at work in her office, she started talking about Jesus in the office. Well, you know what it was like. Everybody in the office was an atheist, right? Of course they were atheists. And probably most of them were party members too, probably, right? Because that's how you get ahead. That's how you advance. And so she would talk about Jesus in her office in the capital city. And there was a guy there who liked her, right? And he started hearing her talk about Jesus. And he liked her, but he would laugh at her. He would mock her. And he'd say, Jesus, there's no Jesus. We believe in ourselves. And she'd say, no, Jesus has changed my life. And she'd keep on working, and she'd talk about Jesus. And she just kept on going to office and working every day. And he'd laugh at her as she talked about Jesus. Then, a few weeks later, he was in the bus riding home from work one day, and he looked around, and he said, he told the big sister who told the little sister who had led them to the Lord, he said, I looked out the window, and as I looked around at everything around me, I realized God made the world. Now, for all of us, it's like, well, of course God made the world, right? But if you're from an atheist country, God didn't make the world. It happened with the Big Bang or something else like that, right? And he said, I looked around and I suddenly realized God made this world. That's a huge step, right? And then he said, and then all of a sudden, I felt, I am so sinful. I'm so bad. I'm so sinful. Well, now, a Chinese person will never feel sinful because, right? Is that not true? Yeah, you know, Eleanor's laughing because this is her background too. Because the word in Chinese for sinful is criminal. I'm a criminal. But without anybody sitting there next to him, he said, I'm so sinful. And on the bus, on the way home, he gave his heart to Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's what the Holy Spirit comes to do, brothers and sisters, in the world around us and in people's lives. So as we look at this, Jesus says to us, I want you to go. I want you to go. You may never go to another country, but you are going to places that I will never go. And I'm so jealous of you because of the work we're coming to a close, because of the work that I do. I don't meet a lot of other people except for you. When I climb the mountain, I've made some friends with people on the mountain, and I'm starting to talk to them about Jesus. But it's a slow process, they're afraid of ghosts on the mountain. And to this point, the best I've been able to do is say, I'm not afraid of ghosts. I have God. That's my first step. But here's the thing. So MoMA is going into a university classroom, and I will never get to go into that classroom, right? I'm never going to get to go into that classroom with others just like you, or on the soccer pitch if you play football, or on the rugby field, or in your homes, or at your work. And I'm kind of jealous. I'm kind of jealous of that. But God says to you, go. But as you go, he says, stay or wait, because I need to give you through the Holy Spirit what you need to be my witness and to show people with your life that I'm alive. This morning you say, yes, but I never saw Jesus on the cross and I never saw Jesus rise from the dead. But you know what, Crystal? Your life is a testimony to Jesus, because once you were dead and now you're alive, right? Yeah, I'm pretty sure. All of us, we are witnesses. Are we perfect? No, we're not perfect. But Jesus has come in, the Holy Spirit lives in us, and Jesus gives us what we need and more of what we need so that we might be witnesses in the world. As I was preparing, and we're just gonna stop here. Oh, I've got some more stories to tell you, but I'll wait and I'll tell you next week. How about that? Really good stories. True stories. You wait. One is about somebody who was a Buddhist, and another one's a really funny one from the U.S., but it helps us understand a little bit better. It's a story that Dad used to tell. But anyhow, but as we do what God has called us to do, brothers and sisters, so as I was getting ready and preparing this morning, as I was coming in, because I'm older than most of you, I was up by 4 o'clock this morning. I did not want to be up by 4 o'clock, but I was. I was. So I thought I might as well get on up, and so I was praying. And then as I was driving this morning, I'd prepared everything, but I knew, Lord, what I have and the words that are here are not enough for people. What they need is the work of your Holy Spirit, and what they need are the words of your Holy Spirit. And that's the only way we will make a difference. It's the only way that our lives will change. But fortunately, Jesus comes to us and he says, I have a gift for you, and it's the promise of the Father, and it's the Holy Spirit. And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. So I'm going to ask you this week, and I'm just going to pray for you right now. I'd like to ask you to pray something very specific this week. I'd like to ask you to pray every day this week, if you will. Jesus, would you fill me with your Holy Spirit, that the power that I need to be your witness today, I will be your witness. I cannot do it by myself, but your Holy Spirit can. Here I am. Would you fill me with your Holy Spirit and power? That's the promise of Jesus every day. And let's see what God does this week. Amen? Okay, let's pray. Amen? Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you that Jesus, when he prepared to return, said, I'm sending you the promise that the Father has said that I will give to you, and you will receive power when you receive this promise and this gift of the Holy Spirit, and you will be my witnesses. Lord, we thank you for what you've done in our hearts and in our lives, and Lord, we know that there's more work to be done in our lives, but you have promised that because you've begun a good work in our hearts and lives, you're faithful and you will complete it. And Lord, I ask for me and for everyone here that as we wait on you and as we ask for your help, your Holy Spirit will fill us and empower us to be witnesses, to show with our lives that there is a God who is alive and who gives hope and who lifts hearts and who transforms and who loves and who doesn't condemn and who keeps working with us and is patient with us even when we mess up. That's the type of God you are. And Lord, that's what we want people to see in our lives. God, we want people to see that this week. And Lord, if possible, we'd like a chance to talk about you this week. We really would. We really would. So here we are. Here we are. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Go get them. Amen. Amen. God bless.